This is Jay Sekulow. We beat New York City on an abortion issue in front of a judge in Manhattan.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, this is a good way to start the week. We had a big win. The issue was abortion in New York City, in Manhattan, against New York, in front of a judge. And this is defending crisis pregnancy centers. And the city of New York folded, literally folded, in front of the judge, dismissed their charges. And again, this is this attempt by New York, which is probably had the most, well, not probably, they do have the most aggressive abortion laws in the country. But the idea that there we were, I want you to take you inside the courtroom here. You're inside an administrative hearing room with a judge. You're arguing that the law as applied by the city of New York is violating our client's rights to freedom of speech. That, in fact, the activities that the Crisis Pregnancy Center engaged in were not in any way violative of what's put forward in the regulation. And you're having to litigate this in Manhattan, the most pro-abortion jurisdiction in the, I would say Manhattan, probably the most pro-abortion jurisdiction in the United States.
I can't imagine one that would be more pro-abortion. I mean, this it's like
Los Angeles County, maybe.
People talk about the Ninth Circuit, maybe San Francisco. But New York, following what the state has done, you can imagine then, this New York City Council, though, has been aggressive against these pro-life pregnancy centers just operating as an alternative to abortion clinics. They have been trying to shut them down for more than a decade with absurd and outrageous laws. They get struck down or they have to withdraw their case. And then let me tell you something, though. Just because they withdrew this time, and that's pretty embarrassing to have to withdraw in front of a judge and pretty unheard of when you can prepare for that. Administrative trial in New York City that you just have to quit and say, okay, we literally can't defend this. They're going to come up with some other, as we say in our blog, they're going to come right back with some other regulation to try and shut down pro-life pregnancy centers that are merely offering women an alternative to abortion.
And what we have to do is continually fight back. But Cece, there's no doubt that in New York City, in Manhattan, the issue is abortion in front of a judge to win. It's pretty historic.
This is a great win. It's a great win for life. It's a great win in New York. You know, this was just down the street from the One World Trade Center, which, you know, they lit up the spire in pink when they had the most pro-abortion laws passed.
Infanticide.
And we stood up for life. And it's a huge win. I mean, for the city to actually withdraw their summons and all their allegations, they knew that they didn't have it. And literally for the past decade, we have had a case in New York, an active case where we are absolutely defending these pro-life centers.
I told
actively.
You, I think that my work with Chris Slattery on this is probably going back to the 1980s. The lawyers that have been involved in this with us, we've probably been doing this together. We were probably in our 30s then. Well, I don't know how old he is, but I know how old I am. I was in my 30s and then I'm 62
it's
now.
It's constant.
No,
they
so
do
it
not
keeps
stop.
Coming back. But the fact that you win in Manhattan.
Huge.
And is incredible. So here's what happened. Our witnesses were ready to testify, but they were not needed. New York City's allegations against our client was faulty as a matter of law. That's what we argued. So faulty, in fact, that after several hours of walking the judge through all the reasons the city's claims and arguments failed under the law, the city was forced to withdraw its summons and its allegations altogether. Ben Sisney from our office in Washington went up to New York to handle that matter. And the end result is that New York, at this point, caves. And Harry, real quick here, we only got 50 seconds. The fact that we won in New York is significant. It's not insignificant. It's very significant.
I think you're absolutely correct. Jay, freedom of speech in the state of New York and in New York City is under a clear attack. And it is clear beyond question that New York City continues to put pro-life centers in their crosshairs. And we should be alert to their continuing efforts.
All right. We're going to talk more about this. We also are going to talk about an $8.6 billion request from the president on the immigration issue, migrants at the border. Could it be 700,000 people coming up? Lindsey Graham says it is an emergency. We'll talk about it. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, as we win this case in New York, matching challenge, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
ACLJ. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so this does not happen every day. We've had great success on the life issue on a whole host of fronts, but as you know, New York is the most aggressive. I mean, they're consistently the most aggressive on New York. So you've got an issue with crisis pregnancy centers in Manhattan, so you're the most hostile jurisdiction you could be in. You've got charges being brought against our client. We get ready for a trial. Witnesses are prepared. We're about to have a trial. The lawyers argue in front of the judge that the law as it's written was not even violated. And 2 hours later, the New York City had to withdraw its summons. Let's talk about first a little bit of the history. First of all, this goes back. Let me give you some real history here. We've been litigating around this issue for 10 years. Yes. Cece, go ahead.
So this particular law, actually, it was Local Law 17, and we started litigation 10 years ago against this law, and we actually won. It required three disclosures, and we won in the Second Circuit. Again, a very hostile
circuit.
Yes, yep. Circuit. We won. Two of the three were struck down. The one that remained was the one stating whether or not there's a licensed medical provider on staff. So that was the one remaining notification that a crisis pregnancy center had to do. That is the actual code then that the city tried to go after our clients once again to try and shut them down. And we shut the city down instead.
Yeah, well, they actually caved. I mean, to have them cave at the proceedings is a really big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I just want people to understand the game that the New York City Council was trying to play with the pro-life pregnancy centers this time in New York City. They have regulations that require that facilities put up disclaimer signs on their premises and websites and social media posts stating that they are not a medical facility. But they were allowed to put up signs or remove those signs when there was a licensed medical provider, like a licensed nurse or someone to like an ultrasound tech to supervise the services, like ultrasounds or blood work, those kind of tests. And you could then remove the signs. But that wasn't enough. So the city went in and said whenever their signs were removed, they were violating, because they want those signs to be permanent. They want it to feel like these centers are falsely advertising that they provide care to those women who are pregnant, and they don't have anyone there on staff with any medical background, whether it's nurses or ultrasound techs, and it's absolutely not true. So these clinics were, pro-life pregnancy centers were operating under that rule. So they'd take the sign down when there were people there available to do the ultrasounds, to do the blood work, to do the other tests available, and yet the city would pop them right then without even asking who was available at the clinic that day, who was there at the pro-life pregnancy center. And that's why I think ultimately when they got before this judge, I mean, it is unprecedented, folks. For anyone, especially the abortion industry, usually comes pretty prepared for trial. And especially when they're facing what they can imagine is a fairly friendly New York City administrative court. And any kind of judge in New York City would be assumedly pretty friendly to the abortion movement. Let's just put it that way. And obviously, they were totally unprepared. Because once the trial began, witnesses were lined up. Instead of fighting out the case before the administrative judge, they literally withdrew their challenge. They quit. They walked away. Now, does that mean that New York City's council is not going to try again to come after the pro-life pregnancy centers in New York? Absolutely not. But what it shows is they've stretched once, they lost. They've stretched again, and they had to withdraw their own case. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what creative tactics they try next
time. They'll
come
up with something.
But they will try.
Yeah,
and that's
question.
The important part of this issue is that this battle is never quite over, but this is a huge victory because these abortion attorneys are usually well-prepared, and they're in friendly environments in New York.
The friendliest environment in the country would be Manhattan on the issue of life, as far as the pro-abortion side goes.
I think that's precisely correct, and it's important to note that all of this is simply an outgrowth of America's extremist abortion industry, which has provided political funding to politicians in New York, New York City, and Virginia. And in other words, the Democratic Party used to be the party of safe, legal, and rare, and it is now the party that embraces abortion as a moral good. And they're not simply content to embrace abortion as a moral good. That's not enough for them. They want to shut down pro-life centers in violation, in many cases, direct violations of the First Amendment. And so I think all of us need to be extremely vigilant. Yes, we won in New York City recently. However, we should be prepared for additional attacks going forward. So in New York City, in Virginia, in Vermont, and a number of other jurisdictions, the abortion rights lobby is on the march, and they seek to offer the following position, that abortion is a moral good, and that opposition to abortion is immoral.
You know, yes, you're 100% correct. That is the approach that they're taking. But Cece, what I find really interesting about this case, and again, I'm not going to, you can't overstate it. Winning a case like this in Manhattan, and I'm saying in New York City, a pro-life case victory in New York City is very difficult because it is such a hostile environment.
It is.
But here we had a win. Now, as Jordan said, they're going to come back with other things.
Right.
But the fact that we were able to win there shows that perseverance pays off.
It does. Perseverance pays off. And let me just tell you, there are probably other crisis pregnancy centers that maybe don't know to reach out to the ACLJ.
Right.
And they'll get put out of business because of these kind of things. And so that's been the city's kind of MO, is you just harass and you fine until you put them out. But when we step in as the ACLJ and defend them, we see we're winning each time. We're pushing back each time, and we're protecting these crisis pregnancy centers.
Well, Jill on Facebook just said this. This is great to hear. Just following up with what you said. I work in a pregnancy center in California as a nurse manager, so I'm watching these cases closely. Now, Jordan, you were just in South Carolina, gave a major speech in front of thousands of people on the life issue. People are watching these cases.
They are. I mean, even in South Carolina, where they have a pro-life government, most of the politicians of the state are there or sponsors of this giant dinner. These are the largest pro-life dinner in the state, 1,600 people attending, which you can imagine at a gala where at tables. You could not see the end of the room from the stage. And they are most interested in, of course, what's happened in New York, but also the attacks on their own organizations. These are nonprofit organizations run by really dedicated people, a handful of staff, mostly volunteer. Donations come in from across the communities to build these pro-life pregnancy centers. And the one I visited, they were opening their new facility just a couple of weeks, so it's basically done. And it is across the street from the last remaining abortion clinic in Greenville, South Carolina, which is a fortress, basically, the abortion clinic. And this is a place that looks like where you'd want to go if you were pregnant. I got to tour the new facility. If you were pregnant, this is the happy place you'd want to be going to, not the scary place behind the fencing and trees where you can't even see the building or know what's going on behind there. That's why the abortion industry wants to come after these groups. Now, it's harder for them to come after them in South Carolina. But in New York and in California,
but we've got to stand where they're fighting in those hard jurisdictions as well.
Right, that's where they're going after is the New Yorks, the Californias, because many times these are right next door or very close to the abortion clinics.
If you look at our pro-life cases right now, the litigation we have, Cece, it is very much New York and California.
Absolutely, because they know where to target. They go to the more liberal areas. They'll go to maybe Austin in Texas. When we saw kind of that local law 17 in New York, it showed up in California. It showed up in Texas. But they specifically choose the liberal areas because they'll know that they have friendly judges there.
Well, that's – and, Harry, they want a – I mean, they're trying to get friendly jurisdictions. On this one, though, the law was so against them and the facts were so against them, they couldn't overcome the reality of the case.
I think that's precisely correct, but it's also important to note that ultrasound constitutes an important pro-life medical procedure, and it's also important to note that in New York City and in the state of New York and in other jurisdictions, they want to silence this particular medical procedure because such a procedure provides clear and unmistakable evidence that a fetus is more than a clump of cells. And it's very, very persuasive in encouraging women to decide not to have an abortion, instead to perhaps put the baby up for adoption. So it's very, very important to note that at the end of the day, many abortion rights individuals oppose ultrasounds because they oppose actually providing information to mothers.
We have an email that's out right now from our media digital team. It says it's a tidal wave of new extreme abortion legislation. The abortion lobby is now pushing New York-style live abortion bills in Vermont, New Mexico, Illinois, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. These bills don't just allow abortion. They're drastically expanding abortion until the moment of birth. So we've just authorized a litigation to start in New York on New York's law. Who is behind it? We want to know all the details. So all of that's going on. Your support of the ACLJ right now really makes a difference. Jordan's going to let you know we're in a matching challenge campaign. She had a great win on Friday. I mean, just, again, I cannot overstate. Winning on the life issue in Manhattan before an administrative hearing judge is a very big deal. And that was a very big win.
Let me tell you about some great news, too, out of Maryland. We come back from the break on the fight for life. They were looking at proposing a similar constitutional change like New York did on abortion. We'll give you an update on that when we come back from the break. Be part of our matching challenge. The reason why we've got attorneys in all these different locations who are able to do this work is because of you. You donate online at aclj.org. You'll see the matching challenge banner right at the homepage. When you donate, whatever amount you choose, if it's $25, that's all you're charged to your credit card. But it's matched by another group of donors who are ready to match incoming donations, which means effectively you've donated $50 to the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org. Let's keep winning.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms and are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right. Jumping right in there on the break because it's a big win. Anytime you have a win in New York on the issue of life in front of a judge, it's a big win. This was one of them. Friday, our team was up in Manhattan. We're representing crisis pregnancy centers, and the city of New York is trying to regulate them out of existence. And we were talking during the break, so we won. They dismissed the summons, the complaint, after about a couple hours worth of legal argument. We had witnesses ready to go. But we won a case on abortion in Manhattan in front of an administrative trial judge. But you got to ask yourself, we've been litigating this issue for 10 years, up and down. We win, then they come up with new ones. What it is they object to, and Cece, you said during the break, I think it's important for our entire Facebook and Periscope audience saw it, but I'd like our radio audience to see it as well, hear it as well, and that is why they're fighting so hard on this.
Because these pro-life centers are so successful.
Why are they so successful?
And they're successful because they give actual information, talk about informed consent. They give information about, to a pregnant woman, you know, the baby she's carrying, and what the options are with adoption and different things. And when they see that baby in an ultrasound, almost every single time, that pregnant woman chooses to keep her baby and either keep it or put it up for adoption. And that totally destroys the bottom line of Planned Parenthood and the abortion lobbyists, because they don't then get to kill that baby and get the money for it.
So we know, Harry, that they're in the business of abortion, and they are viewing these crisis pregnancy centers as competition.
Absolutely.
You hate saying that, but that's exactly what it is.
And so there's a revenue issue connected to the abortion industry's lobbying against pro-life centers. But it's also important to note that many of the proponents of these laws that are opposed to pro-life centers, they're opposed to ultrasound in part because they are opposed, if you will, to freedom of speech, because if freedom of speech is allowed to prevail, it will reduce the number of abortions.
Yep.
And so they are prepared to put the Constitution aside in order to push an agenda from one of their leading donor groups, the abortion rights industry.
Yeah, and it is, by the way, it is an industrial complex. There's no question about it. All right, we're taking your calls, comments coming on Facebook and Periscope as well. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Jillian calling from California on line one. Jillian, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Jillian.
Thank you so much for taking my call. And
sure.
Thank you to the ACLJ for all you do. And I guess my question is there a way that we can mobilize the medical communities across the country, the doctors, nurses, to speak out against this issue? It seems like there's just not a lot of voice coming from, you know, other than organizations like yourself.
So you raise a really important question. That is, what about the medical community? Well, let me give you some good news. You're not hearing a lot about it because we're defending doctors right now. I mean, leading physicians at leading hospitals that are pro-life are under attack. And we have a team at the ACLJ, lawyers that represent medical professionals when these issues arise. That includes nurses, pharmacists, doctors. We've gone to court on behalf of nurses before that were being compelled to participate in abortion procedures. We've had jury verdicts in our favor for their conscience being violated, for them being compelled to violate their conscience, or being terminated because they wouldn't engage in abortion procedures. But here's the good news. The medical community is speaking out because the medical science is clear. But I just want you to know, right now we've got cases, I cannot even give you the locations because they're in administrative hearings, but literally from coast to coast, we've got teams representing medical professionals. That's a big part of what we do at the ACLJ. When doctors, nurses, pharmacists, techs speak out or refuse to participate in an abortion procedure, we're there front and center defending their right to speak their conscience or not engage in a process that they think violates their conscience.
And, you know, that's interesting, too, because New York's new law, pro-abortion law, removes even a medical doctor from having to do an abortion. Because I think the doctors, as evidence gets more clear, medical evidence gets more clear, you do have more doctors that don't want to kill a baby. They do not want to do that.
Also, Jordan, you were going to mention, we had a team in New York on Wednesday, and then we had another team in Maryland.
In Maryland, it was in support of two pro-life measures, as well as, and this was giving testimony to the State House there, a committee, as well as a constitutional amendment for Maryland, which is basically exactly what New York did, that grotesque law that basically decriminalize all abortion up to birth. Anyone can provide an abortion. The list goes on and on and on. We've updated you about that. So Maryland was looking at adopting the same thing. Even before the testimony began, again, the pro-abortion proponents of this new constitutional amendment for Maryland tabled that legislation because of the public outcry. And so while the opponents testifying against the pro-life measures were representatives, of course, from Planned Parenthood and ARAO and the ACLU, we were there at the ACLJ giving the counter testimony face-to-face with the abortion industry on laws, because they were also considered the 20-week abortion ban. And so I think that that was important. They were kind of looking at all these different abortion regulations. But what I think the biggest takeaway out of Maryland is that they were on the edge of going the route of New York.
Yep.
And even that those pro-abortion proponents of it, even with Planned Parenthood there and NARAL there, they had to table it. They didn't even want the testimony on it to be on the legislative record because of what happened in Virginia, I think, especially. When you start asking people questions about when does abortion stop if we adopt language like this, you start getting answers like, well, while the child's in the birth canal, you can still do the abortion. Or you go the Governor Northam route, you could actually deliver the child, resuscitate them, and then kill them again.
Yeah, so all of this has backfired on them, Harry. It's fair to say.
It absolutely has, but it's also important to keep in mind that the mainstream media has aided and abetted the abortion rights industry. And so, therefore, our listeners need to maintain eternal vigilance, yep. And we need to be ready at any moment in time to oppose these efforts, because at the end of the day, it's also important to look at the context. 44 U.S. senators voted against the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act in Congress, and you have radical abortion laws passed in New York City, in the state of New York, in Vermont, in New Mexico. So this is an ongoing national fight, and it's a national effort that we should engage in opposing these efforts. And therefore, we need to be prepared to send lawyers throughout the country, yep, to oppose these pro-abortion efforts, and we should continue to persist in our efforts going forward.
We are going to do that. Let's take a call right here before the break, Jordan, real quick.
Yeah, let's go to Amy in Michigan on line 3. Amy, welcome to JSecuLive.
Amy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yep. Thank you for taking my call. I'm on the front lines working at a pregnancy care center, and it's so important that you keep fighting for us. There's a Planned Parenthood across the street from us that does abortions every week, and yet the Lord continues as we meet with clients to show them that it is life through ultrasounds and just through our conversations. So please keep fighting for us, because if they shut us down, these people will have nowhere to go for hope and for the truth.
Well, we appreciate that, Amy, and it is our privilege, really, for four decades, standing with the life community. We're also in a matching challenge campaign. You'd heard about the victory in New York, the ones in Maryland, other cases being litigated right now, new ones starting. Your support for the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Jordan's going to let you know how you can be part of the team. Coming up in the next half hour, more on the immigration debate. We're going to get into that.
Yeah, that's right, folks. ACLJ.org, right on the homepage. You'll see right at the top, it'll say matching challenge and the donate button. You follow the normal donation. It takes a couple minutes or less. You put in your credit card information. Choose the amount you want to give. Whatever amount you give, we've got donors who are ready to match it. You've got to take the initial action, though. We don't get their matching donation unless you make the donation, because there's nothing for them to match. So if you donate $25, they will match that $25 with an additional $25. Now, all you're charged is $25, but it becomes effectively $50 to the ACLJ. It's a great time to donate online.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The whole issue of the wall, border security, is of paramount importance. We have a crisis down there. I think the president has made that case very effectively. It's a crisis of economics. It's a crisis of crime and drugs. It's a crisis of humanity.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so the United States government, our government, is gearing up for a what's called a record number of migrants traveling to America as families either to cross the southern border illegally or claim asylum at ports of entry. This according to senior Homeland Security officials. The revelations come, this is a Fox News report, on the heels of the Wall Street Journal report that cites that the Internal Customs and Border Protection document that they saw saying that 178,000 people traveling as families are expected to enter the U.S. in some capacity between March and May. Almost 200,000 between March and May, compared to 46,000 during the same period last year. Harry Hutchison, Director of Policy, that is a policy problem.
Absolutely. So what we essentially have is a fourfold increase in the number of individuals who are attempting to enter the United States illegally, and they're coming as families. It's also important secondarily to note that many of these individuals are not members of a particular family, but they are presenting themselves to border officials as if they were members of the family. And it's also important to note that there's this huge backlog of asylum requests. Almost a million individuals are part of this backlog. That is a quintessential problem, and it's a quintessential problem with respect to border security. And the administration is trying to do something about it. On the other hand, leftist politicians apparently don't want to know anything about it. They do not want to believe the evidence that's right before their own eyes. Instead, they are prepared to form a new political party, the Know-Nothing Party, particularly when it comes to border security.
Here's what the Commissioner of Customs and Border Patrol said at a press conference last week.
76,000 total apprehensions and inadmissible arrivals in a four-week month in February. That's the highest number of encounters in any February in the last 12 years. We have apprehended and encountered more families in just 5 months and 5 days than last year's record total. The system is well beyond capacity and remains at a breaking point.
Jordan?
I mean, just think about how many people that is. 76,000 apprehensions in February alone. 76,000. And we're having a partisan fight in Congress about the need to finish the wall and get the
judges,
get the Border Patrol officers the resources they need as well. One, what the wall does is slow it down so that they have time to work on the backlog. Like you say, they need more judges, but you got to slow it down before you can even start working on the backlog, or else even while working on it, it's just going to tick up and up, and it's going to go over a million. Right now, it's 830,000. I mean, and if you're expecting an additional now 178,000, well, then you're going to get over a million if you don't change. So the new budget from the White House, I think, is very important. Obviously, it's going to be tough with the Democrat House of Representatives. But here's some good news. They are requesting another $8.6 billion in wall funding for the new budget. But here's some good news. Armed already with $8.1 billion of wall funding currently available this fiscal year, that's approximately 122 miles of wall that have been completed or in progress from the last two fiscal years. The Trump administration has the money already to build more than half of the targeted 722 miles of wall along the southern border. Now, this is with the emergency declaration, all of that put together. But so they're already looking forward to how do you finish the job? How do you finish the wall, as the president says? It's looking for that additional $8 billion, some of it from Congress, about $5 billion from Congress, others from outside funds.
All right, we've got a video coming up for those on Facebook and Periscope. And if you would like to talk to us, our phone lines are now open. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk about this border wall issue a little bit and what's coming in this, what appears to be an emergency as far as the flow of people into the United States. As you know, I'm in favor of immigration reform, but we've got to get a handle on our border security. 1-800-684-3110. How big of an issue is this for you? 800-684-3110. Don't forget ACLJ.org for that matching challenge campaign. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls, in just a minute. Again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So here's a good question came in from Sylvia on Facebook. She said, why aren't these individuals seeking asylum in Mexico? Harry?
Well, they should be. And under international law, as I understand it, they are supposed to seek asylum in the first safe country that they reach. And so it's important to note that many of these individuals are trekking more than 1,000 miles to come to the United States. They're coming from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. And they're traversing Mexico, the entire country of Mexico, and yet they refuse to seek asylum in Mexico. Now, some of these individuals are propelled by individuals in the United States who are telling them that they essentially have a constitutional right to enter the United States illegally. And so there are advocates on the U.S. side who are proponents of essentially open borders. And it's important to note that proponents of open borders actually occupy both sides of the political spectrum. So many libertarians and certainly many Democrats and certainly left-wingers, they support open borders in part because they see this as a political win down the road. But it's also important to note that the president of the United States has a constitutional right to protect the American people, and expanding and building the border wall is a step in the right direction.
So you've got this stalemate going on right now in the courts, because not a lot of movement right now, but you still have the president committed to national security. You got the emergency declaration out there. Martha on Facebook says, I fully support President Trump on securing the border. I'm curious to see what most of our listeners' view on this is. And we'll take your calls as well. It's great getting comments on Facebook and Periscope, but you can also call us at 1-800-684-3110. Just want to know where you stand. 1-800-684-3110. Especially people on border states. I think that would be really helpful to know.
Yeah, I think that it is important, because this is obviously going to be a battle that leads into 2020. I mean, this budget is for
this year. Do you think this is going to be a big issue in the election in 2020?
I do. I think that these kind of issues become important if the economy keeps buzzing along. Then these kind of issues become important because, again, people do care about their pocketbooks, number one, and they want to make sure the economy is strong. If it continues to be relatively, you know, pretty strong, then you start looking at other issues. Well, how do we make it safe? How do we make our country safer? How do we make it more secure? And I think that there is wide agreement on the right that we need more border security, more barriers, more border patrol agents, more immigration judges, more asylum courts, ready to operate. So there's wide agreement. And on the left, they think it can all be done through just manpower and technology without any physical barriers. So I think that and with very low cost that they'll actually budget towards funding any of that. So again, it has become an unfortunately divisive issue. And so one that is ripe for politics in 2020. And when you have, you know, people talking about abolishing ICE and tearing down the wall if they get elected, I mean, these are the kind of issues that will really reinvigorate this whole political side of this battle once again.
Grace on Facebook had a really, really good comment. She said, and I think it's an important comment. She said, it's sad. Let me get it back up here. Sorry.
Yep.
Hang on a second.
I've got it. Okay. She said, it's sad because this should have been fixed already. This has been a problem for a long, long time. It isn't new. It needs to be finished. And I think that's the president's theme, is finish the wall. Finish the construction.
And what's your view on that, folks? 1-800-684-3110. Here's again from the Secretary Nielsen's statement to the House hearing just last week.
Illegal immigration is simply spiraling out of control and threatening public safety and national security. We face a crisis, a real, serious, and sustained crisis at our borders. We have tens of thousands of illegal aliens arriving at our doorstep every month. We have drugs, criminals, and violence spilling into our country every week. And we have smugglers and traffickers profiting from human misery every single day by exploiting people who are seeking a better life, deceiving them about our laws, and fueling everything from sexual slavery to child exploitation to the smuggling of illicit goods.
You know, I think when you look at that and you understand that should not be partisan, illegal goods, slavery, both economic slavery, sexual slavery, human trafficking, the drug crisis we have in our own country, no one is doubting that that's real. So again, if the experts, the bureaucrats are telling us this is where the problem is, this is where a problem that we can fix is, you know, they talk about other ports of entry, but here we have a porous southern border that could be fixed much more easily with some barriers and more staffing. And yet they refuse this idea that they think we're building the Berlin Wall. That's not the case.
No.
This is a way to stop the flow of drugs, to stop as much as you can the human trafficking of minors to be used as sex slaves, the human trafficking of workers to be used basically in a new kind of indentured servitude or slavery, if you'd like to call it really what it is, in the United States of America. It is not inhumane to build the wall. We are allowing inhumane activities to cross over so easily into our own country because we don't have barriers in place.
Rita on Facebook said, I'm all for legal immigration. That's what she said. My family came here as immigrants and became citizens legally. Now, I have exactly the same experience. So I do keep saying, Harry, that as part of all of this, we need comprehensive immigration reform.
I think you're absolutely correct. Comprehensive immigration reform is indeed possible if individuals would pull down their partisan flags and focus on the facts that are clearly on the ground. These facts have been on the ground for the last 20 years. Right now, the crisis at the border has worsened. As we've indicated previously, the number of illegals who are trying to enter over the next several months has gone up fourfold vis-a-vis 2018. At the same time, we have politicians who are prepared to put their head in the sand. They are prepared to ignore drug trafficking. They are prepared to ignore human trafficking. They are prepared to ignore the humanitarian crisis on our border. But at the same time, they are prepared to attempt to score political points going forward. And so I think it's going to be up to the American people to act and to elect politicians who are going to put America's interests first as opposed to partisan interests first.
All right, we're taking calls. 1-800-684-3110. Coming up in the last segment of the broadcast, I'd like to talk about Elizabeth Warren making it very clear she's not a Democratic Socialist. This is a very interesting political divide, but we're going to stay on this topic right now. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, Reggie in Texas on line one. Reggie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Reggie. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm a San Antonio area.
Yep.
And We're approximately 1.5 million people. So at 200,000 people, you know, that's a good percentage of would be the population of San Antonio. So if they were coming in every 4 months, you know, I mean, it wouldn't take long just to double the population here. And there's no way any major city could handle something like that.
No, you're 100% correct. We got an interesting comment, Reggie, on Facebook from Ellen. She says that I've been a nurse for 22 years in a border town, caring for people who are a victim of all the atrocities that Jordan and the secretary just mentioned. It's a problem that is just getting worse. And you're right. The sheer numbers of people tax the system. It's already taxing our immigration and asylum system, where there's a backlog of what is almost 800,000 cases, but it continues to make it more difficult.
I mean, when you look at the fact that they are predicting that between the next March, April, and May, we're already in March, that 178,000 people are going to try and enter the U.S. on the southern border. And last year, during that same time period, it was less than 46,000, which is still a lot of people. 178,000 people. You know, I feel for people like Ellen, who is a nurse in a city on a border town, has been doing that for 22 years, because unless we rapidly get behind what the president is trying to do in a bipartisan way, for the next months or so, until these barriers are done being built and there's more Border Patrol agents there, she is going to be facing those same atrocities in the hospitals, and even maybe on a greater scale than it's been seen recently, because, Harry, as you said, this is four times the amount of people last year, and 46,000 is a lot of people in 3 months.
You are absolutely correct. And one of the real issues, of course, is that many of these individuals lack the skill set to be fully assimilated in the United States. In other words, are they prepared to take jobs, legal jobs, or are they going to be exploited by employers? Douglas Murray, in his book, The Strange Death of Europe, points out that any country that assimilates more than 50 to 100,000 people at a time will indeed have difficulty. And so here we are potentially facing more than a million people coming in over the next 12 months or so. That will be extremely difficult for us to assimilate.
A million people that we don't really even know, and that we know are not coming with high-skilled labor jobs, that are not coming with high-tech, you know, positions, the kind of people who'd be able to legally immigrate based off economic concerns, people that we need in our country for employment purposes, to fill jobs and to create new jobs as well. We've got our matching challenge up at aclj.org. Donate right now. Your donation's effectively doubled. You're charged the amount you choose. We've got someone ready to match that amount. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Last segment, so we talk about a whole variety of issues. Representative Cortez was at the South by Southwest conference, a big conference. We have people that attend that conference. Here's what she said about capitalism.
Capitalism isn't, to me, is it's an ideology of capital. It puts capital, the most important thing is the concentration of capital, and it means that we seek and prioritize profit and the accumulation of money above all else, and we seek it at any human and environmental cost. That is what that means. And to me, that ideology is not sustainable and cannot be redeemed.
So capitalism cannot be redeemed. This is coming from a member of the United States Congress.
It's bizarre.
I haven't even played the democratic socialism one yet. I'm saving that.
But one of the great things about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is she fails to understand history. And she demonstrates beyond question her capacity to conclusively show that she is an economic illiterate. So she talks about the concentration of power. She talks about the concentration of capital. She believes in the concentration of power and the concentration of capital, but only in the power of only in the hands of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. So every country is grounded in capital. And so the notion that capitalism is the enemy of the American people makes little sense. It's important to note that as a predicate to the Constitution, that the framers of the Constitution, they were interested in what? Private property ownership, which allows for individual initiative, allows for savings, allows for the accumulation of wealth, allows for choice. Effectively, she opposes all of those things and wants to put all of the levers of power in the hands of so-called experts in Washington. It will not work out well for the American people.
No, I think that the truth is that capitalism has stood the test of time, whereas first we saw communism, so the most extreme form of socialism, that falls. I don't think – I haven't seen any of these candidates try to defend communism because I think that's just a bad word now. So they use socialism. Socialism has failed. When it is really put into place, it is very hard to distinguish the difference between socialism and communism because it's truly, as Harry would say, it's state bureaucratic run. And look at the starving, dying people in Venezuela who have the state resources to pay all their people probably a living wage. The Democrat socialists love that, pay a living wage to everybody, not even people who are working. But instead, the bureaucrats concentrate the power. They reward those who support them, and they let those who are not as valuable to their society die off because their view of life is not the same. And under capitalism, we have social safety, welfare safety nets, provided by capitalism, provided because the American people pay taxes. Why do we pay taxes? We have incomes that can be taxable. We make those incomes because we work in capitalistic endeavors. And those who make more pay more in taxes, which help those social welfare programs for the truly poor, for the elderly, and for those who experience a crisis.
Yeah, so, but this emphasis on democratic socialism, we may get into this tomorrow on the broadcast. Here's again what the leader of this movement, I guess I would say at this point, Congresswoman Cortez, is number 12.
The emphasis in democratic socialism is on democracy. And it's not about, you know, it's just as much a transformation about bringing democracy to the workplace so that we have a say and that we don't check all of our rights at the door every time we cross the threshold into our workplace. Because at the end of the day, as workers and as people of society, we're the ones creating wealth, not a corporate CEO.
I mean, I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, workers of the world unite. I mean, I guess is what you say to that. I mean, this is how are they running on this, though? And the American people are buying it?
Well, apparently many are, but they fail to recall the famous words of Karl Marx, who said democratic socialism is indeed the road to communism. And the road to communism is essentially the road to authoritarianism. In essence, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants to do what? Empower Washington experts. And last week, the Democrats passed H.R. 1, which is a bill which simply empowers the bureaucrats. It basically trashes the First Amendment. It trashes freedom of association. Even the ACLU opposes that bill, which suggests that it is really far left. But yet the Democrats, they continue to move further and further left.
It's unreal, really, to watch. We'll see what else develops in the news tomorrow, but I know I would like to get into this a little bit more in depth. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, Lisa's calling in from Michigan on the wall issue as well. We're taking calls on that. Lisa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just finding this mind-boggling, and I'm probably not going to say anything that you guys haven't already said, but I feel like this is a Trump issue. I feel like the biggest backlash from this is because of who wants to do it.
So, yeah, I think, look, the reality is border security, Chuck Schumer voted for border security, including a fence before. So this is not about the issue. This is about the politics, Harry. I mean, this is real. We know the number is insignificant into our overall budget. We've gone through that a lot on this broadcast. This is about the politics of the moment, and will it be an issue going into the next general election, which is around the corner?
Well, I think it will indeed be an issue, but you're absolutely correct that it's about the politics of the moment. So if President Obama was proposing, for instance, a border wall, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi would be all for it. And how do we know this? Chuck Schumer, for instance, has voted for border security in the past. And so right now, Democratic opposition to a wall, to border funding, is all about opposing President Trump. And so the Democrats conclusively demonstrate day in and day out that they suffer from the Trump derangement syndrome.
All right. It sounds like Warren, this is according to Jesse on Facebook, realized that socialism spoken by people like Congresswoman Cortez is fringe and not palatable to mainstream voters. So, and then Nancy on Facebook says, I'm concerned that the university systems have pushed this view of a democratic socialism.
I think that's what explains the millennials' support at 50% for something that, for the most part, has been very fringe and has not been an acceptable form of political choice in the United States because of the examples, the horrendous examples we've seen of socialism gone awry very quickly, where people begin suffering almost immediately when state-run industries take over. And I think Venezuela is the best example of that right now. Cuba, always a good example, but Venezuela the best because they have so many resources. They're not just a random communist island. They're a socialist nation with unbelievable oil resources, natural resources, and their people,
their
the lights are out in their capital. Their people are starving to death. Literally, you can see images are there.
Blackout.
And they cannot get their act together because of socialism.
All right, that does it for the broadcast today. What a great program, I have to say. We covered a lot of topics. We're taking your support for the ACLJ seriously, and that's why you see lawyers deployed here in the United States and around the globe. We're in a matching challenge campaign. You go over to ACLJ.org or respond to our emails. If you're not getting our emails, you need to sign up for them at ACLJ.org. But any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So we encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, but also make sure you're getting our newsletters and updates via email at ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.